know, just don't bring the same old to the conversation. Everybody knows this team needed to pick up a point or two or four or whatever along the way. That's obvious. That's pointing to the sky and calling it blue. Good morning to you. Good Thursday morning from New York. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Penguins. It comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into football and or baseball, I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Pirates in the same place that you found this. Islanders 5, Penguins 4, nobody cares. Penguins season over, a lot of people care. But that, of course, preceded this complete non-event that I covered at UBS Arena. What did matter was what was seen both before and afterward in the non-hockey settings, meaning locker room and so forth, and what was discussed, what was on these players' minds. And again, nobody needs to wag a finger at them. The time for that was a month ago. Nobody needs to remind them that, oh, wow, if you hadn't blown that two-goal lead in Calgary, then this or that, or if you hadn't lost to Columbus and Buffalo and Ottawa and all these other teams they should have beaten at some point, then they wouldn't be in this spot. They know all that. They've been thinking about that nonstop. What has impressed me the most about this surge that they had, the 8-1-3 to put themselves into position to take the season to the penultimate day, is that they really, really cared. And what I wanted to hear from them more than anything was the why. What motivated them? What, not what finally got them going, but what got them going. So what I'm going to do is, you know, we have, me and you, all spring and summer long to talk hockey ourselves. I'm going to turn the rest of this program over to them based on four separate conversations that I had in the locker room after the game with four people that I probably trust more than anybody else in there to tell it like it is. And we're going to start with Marcus Pettersson when I just basically just asked him how he's feeling.
It's a very empty feeling right now because we really found found something in the last few weeks or a month.
Best team in the league.
Yeah, and we like I said, very empty feeling right now. It sucks that we had stretches where we wouldn't play well, give up leads. It's easy to look back and like see where
little spots.
Yeah, exactly. But, we had a really good group in here, tight knit group. I mean, a lot of people have won before and they know what it takes and stuff like that. So, empty feeling right now.
I then went across the room to Lars Eller, who he has this glassy look about him after a loss where he just has such a hard time accepting it. He's done so much winning in his life, both in the team sense and as an individual, that he just doesn't deal with it particularly well. I went to Lars and I asked him, what now?
What now? No, it's going to take some, it's going to hurt, you know, it's going to hurt for a while, probably, you know, until there's no more hockey being played this summer. I believe a lot in this team, because I saw how good we were capable of playing when we were at our best. The way we play when we're at our best, we're so good. We'd shoot out teams, and we'd score. We could score in bunches, you know, the right way around the paint, and so it's hard to accept that we, you know, we are where we are today. But once the dust settles, I'll start to look forward to next year and take another crack at it. that's where it's at right now.
From there, it was back across to the other side of the room, but hidden kind of in the corner behind a whole bunch of reporters who were talking to Jeff Carter after he made his retirement announcement. And I asked Rust, basically, because I know he would field a question like this without taking exception to it, should what we just saw over the past month be taken seriously by anybody, meaning toward the future?
It's hard to vote against that now after this last month. Which I think is the most frustrating part, is that we played so well and beat a hell of a lot of really good teams, and it makes it almost worse, kind of looking back on it, kind of initially. First thoughts, obviously there'll be more time to think about it and dissect it, but overall it's a huge bummer. As you see over this last month, you see all the good things we did, and when we did do the right things, we beat a lot of really good teams and we went on a run, but the fact that we just didn't do it enough this year and now we're on the outside, I think sucks. It just sucks.
And finally, after the captain had gathered himself, I went over his way and just asked him something similar to that, but it was more predicated on how well they'd played over the past month. And as you'll hear with his response, he really didn't want to have too much with that. He wants to keep a clear separation between the first 5 months and the last month, both the bad and the good. Here he is.
Yeah, I mean, the season's long. I think, you know, the immediate feeling, like you said, the last few weeks have been really good. But it's 82 games for a reason. You know, if it was a few more, we might have been in the playoffs. It was just we were in the runway, and, that push was just a tad too late. But, I think that you have to appreciate and respect the way we did that. And I think everyone in here did everything that they could to try to get us in the playoffs. And unfortunately, it was something that came up short. But hopefully it's something that we all learn from and we're better for it.
See, I can tell you how they're feeling. I can share it with you. I can repeat it. But when you hear it from their voice, even though it's not, you know, impeccable studio quality, whatever, it's somebody waving an iPhone around in a locker room, you can hear, I hope, how much this meant to them. It did. They're deeply disappointed. Some of them are outright devastated. When we come back, J1Q. Today's J1Q comes from Mike right here on Long Island. Mike says, I listen to Daily Shot of Penguins and Steelers every morning on my way to work. DK, thanks for your work. I appreciate it. Listen as often as I can. That's really nice, Mike. He says, further, now that the Penguins are done and the offseason talk can start ASAP, do you think Tristan Jarry has played his last game in Pittsburgh? Alex Nedeljkovic deserves a nice raise and term, and tying it up would mean probably $9 million in goaltending, and that would be a little high. I haven't really done a whole lot of thinking, much less research, about Ned's next contract. I do know that when you put a guy out there like 100 games in a row to end the season, and then you get here to Long Island for a completely meaningless event, and you still don't put Jarry in the net. Like, you don't even throw him that bone. You say, you know what? This other guy got us this close. You just go right back over there where you've been sitting for a month and just stay there. That's not somebody that you're taking seriously as part of your franchise's future. Now, I have no doubt that when Kyle Dubas speaks with us in the media, and that's scheduled for tomorrow, back home in Cranberry, he's going to say all the right stuff. We believe in Jarry, because every GM does that, even if you don't particularly like the guy or want him around, because why would you devalue the asset? That would make no sense. So be prepared to hear all kinds of platitudes. And what a great teammate Jari was. He was so supportive of Ned. And you might even hear some of that derisive, Ned had the hot hand or whatever kind of talk. In other words, Jari is still our number one and he was our number one. Whatever. I don't want to get preemptive on this. We'll hear what Dubas actually has to say. But there's no way you're taking that guy and saying, yes, he's the one. We trust in him. You can go back to the worst days of Marc-Andre Fleury, whenever he lost his job to Tomas Vokoun. He lost his job a couple of times to Matt Murray eventually, and then to Matt Murray himself whenever he was the peak version of Muzz. And then from there, Jari's never just really felt as if he's been cemented. The closest any single thing came to cementing him as the number one goaltender of this team, as the franchise goaltender, was the contract itself. Think about that for a second. Did you ever at any point say, yeah, Jari's our guy? Other than in like, you know, brief little stretches or whatever. Did you ever say, yes, he's the one? It is unimaginable that he could be sat like this. No, no, never, never. You'd see a couple good games out of Ned and it'd be like, yeah, Ned's our guy. Forget this guy. Now, to take that and parlay that into what you actually want to have answered here, which is his, whether or not they're going to try to move him or whatever. I mean, I think they'd be nuts not to. I thought they were nuts to not try to get anything that they could for him at this past NHL trade deadline, when you knew for a fact that there were three or four teams out there, three or four contenders who needed goaltending at the deadline. Now, I don't see how you can move Jari and that contract, 5 years at more than $5 million per, without kicking in some money. GMs don't like to do that. They especially don't like to do that when they're new in their position. And they really, really, really especially don't like to do that when they just signed that contract themselves less than a year ago. So there are a lot of different factors at play here, not least of which is embarrassment for the new GM, because then he'll acknowledge that he signed not one, but two really bad, really long-term, really expensive contracts to players that the Penguins do not need, and ostensibly do not want, meaning, of course, Jari and Ryan Graves. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Penguins. And no, before anybody asks, this show doesn't go anywhere. It's every day. It's unconditional. Monday through Friday, whether it's in season or out of season or any given sport. So yes, there will be a Daily Shot of Penguins tomorrow. There'll be another one Monday. There'll be another one Tuesday and so on.